Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy gets a shiwi and Tyler puts on his Canadian pants. A. Today's episode of Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to your ear holes by
Sneedy's Off-Road is your number one source for custom and aftermarket products for your 4x4, ATV, and side-by-sides. Quality parts that don't break your bank. If we don't have what you're looking for, we'll get it. Sneedy's Off-Road. The trail starts here.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome all of your Toyota questions are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, folks. I am here today, and Jimmy is here also today. Woohoo! Yay! We're winning the game so far.
Who are you?
Oh, that's a good question. I am Tyler.
And hi, Tyler.
Not to be confused with you, the guy that you messaged a couple episodes ago about a Tercel.
Right.
You said you sent a text to you.
Did I?
Yeah.
To you, Tyler.
Yeah, you. Oh, to me. No, you said to you.
I'm so confused right now.
I love it. Anyway, so welcome, guys. Welcome, ladies. Welcome, kids. Welcome, dogs, and everybody who identifies as something other than one of those four things to this week's episode. So this is a Thursday episode. This is episode 45. We are halfway between 40 and 50.
That's crazy.
Cray cray. Right? So episode 45. It's going to be a fun one. We have some catching up to do with you guys. And before we get into that, though, we have to say thank you to you guys. So thank you for all the support out there.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all that Jimmy has to say. He's a man of few words, and I am a man of way too many words, according to what my co-host tells me, at least.
True.
Why are you being so talkative today, Jimmy?
It was like I was listening to the a bonus episode series.
Okay.
And there's a section in there. I think it's in the first one.
Okay.
When Mike is asking some questions to Jason about because we were talking about how there wasn't many Toyotas, and the alternate Max and I were saying, well, maybe when there was like Toyotas were new and released, and you know, maybe they were more popular.
Uh-huh.
And then Mike started asking Jason, like, have you ever seen a lot of Toyotas here? And he's like, no. He's like, do you ever recall that being like the main focus of SEMA? No. And then Mike's like, come on, man, you can elaborate a little here. What are you doing? Like, this is a podcast. It was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
That Mike is freaking hilarious.
Mike's a funny dude. We need to like get him up here to NorCal more often.
Yeah, he would need to like move him out here so we could just hang out with that guy more.
Yeah.
Leave your family. Bring the willies and come up to the snail trail shop.
Bring the CJ2A. Oh, man. So thank you, guys. So without you guys, this would not be possible doing everything that we're doing and at the pace we're doing it at, and some of the big ideas and plans we have in the pipeline, which we'll get into more details about probably starting 2020 in January. We'll have some pretty cool stuff to talk with you guys about. In the meantime, all the support that you guys keep giving us goes right back to you. So everything, go check out the Patreon account, which is patreon.com/snailtrail4x4. And make sure you get in on the giveaway tier. There's a gift box. Oh, never mind. That's closed.
Gift box tier.
They cannot get in. Sorry, you cannot get in on the gift box tier. I take that back.
But the giveaway tier and this month are pretty awesome for Jim's month.
It's pretty awesome for Jim's month, and we're going to make it even more awesomer for December.
Oh, yeah.
So
the goal is to go big in December.
Yep. We're going to be going big in December with the giveaways, and little teaser, we haven't fully decided yet, but if you are a Patreon, you're going to get, and on that giveaway tier, so Patreon on the giveaway tier, you're going to get some pretty big benefits for December's giveaway.
Giveaway and gift box, probably.
And gift box. So, yeah. So yeah, we'll leave
but
it at
you
that.
Can't get into the gift box tier, like we said earlier.
So. Nope. You guys lost your opportunity at the end of October. SOL.
Son out of luck.
Son out of luck?
Sure.
That's not how I've heard that go before.
Shoot out of luck.
Shoe pastry out of luck. I've been watching too much Great British Baking Show.
I guess. Anyways. So.
So yeah, the Patreon gift box tier is closed. You cannot get in on that. We'll let you know when it opens back up. The giveaway tier is awesome for this month. It is a recovery kit, a synthetic winch line, and two soft shackles from Freedom Ropes. So if you, they also do amazing recovery ropes, dynamic stretch, kinetic straps, ropes.
Oh yeah,
for recovery.
Those things are awesome. I saw them in use when I was down in Pismo.
Mm-hmm.
The jerk pirates.
The jerk pirates
were jerking people out.
Uh huh.
Up a hill. Mm-hmm. In the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both vehicles were going up the hill in the sand, yeah. And they were able to do it with these, the Freedom Ropes. Ropes. It was insane.
Yeah, they're really cool ropes, really cool company. They're local. They're based out of Pismo there. So check them out. Spend some money there if you're looking to upgrade your straps or get some new ones. Remember, straps are a consumable item. You do need to replace them. You cannot have the same strap for 10 years in a row. So, Mike, you need some new straps for your willies. Don't keep using the same old strap. I'm just kidding. I don't know if he does. I'm just giving him a hard time because he's old. I don't know who's older, him or Jason or Chris.
Well, Chris said he was the oldest one there, but then I never heard any of them argue it. So I think they're like, Chris was like, well, I'm the oldest one here. And everybody's like, yeah, you are. And just left it at that. And I knew I wasn't the oldest one, but I wasn't the youngest one either.
Okay. So yeah. Well, Chris doesn't go wheeling, so we can't have him get a strap.
No, true.
Yeah,
he might need a strap to pull the Jeep in and out of the garage.
That's brutal. Shit. Oh, Chris, we love you.
Jason and I were on a roll when we were at SEMA, just like, hey, look at this cool product, Chris. Oh, but you would never need it.
Poor Chris.
I think he started crying at the end of the day.
Oh, poor guy. He had to go retreat and drown his sorrows in some whiskey.
Oh, yeah, we all did.
So, yeah, if you guys have not checked out that episode, definitely go check it out. So, it's a three-part episode, the kind of behind-the-scenes bonus episode. It came out on Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast on Monday, November 11th. On Wheeling, Wine, and Whiskey was part two on November 12th, and part three of that episode came out on our show, Snail Trail, here on Wednesday, November 13th. So check those out. The shenanigans were plenty.
Oh, they were and they were running full.
It was a full on. Make sure the kids are not around and you have earmuffs for them if they are around. So
yes.
Yeah, let's see. There's a discount code at Freedom Ropes for 10% off site wide if you need new strap or want a synthetic winch line or some soft shackles. Snail Trail is that code. Go check out Sneevy's Off-Road. They can get you anything and everything you're looking for, anything that your heart desires for your off-roading vehicles or side-by-sides. You know, say you have a Chevy two-wheel drive truck and you're trying to go mudding in it and you smash your tailpipe. I bet you Sneevy's can find a new tailpipe for your two-wheel drive Chevy Brodozer. Say you're driving a Jeep and you rip the steering box off of your frame, which is a very common issue with JKs, Sneevy's can get you some really awesome steering box brackets. And say you drive a Toyota, you just don't know what it's like to have to repair stuff because you don't break anything.
He has some awesome upgrade parts for you.
He has some awesome upgrade parts. Like, you can get some Chromoly axles. Or some dual transfer cases or a lot of other fun stuff. So mm-hmm. He even has some really awesome beadlock alloy wheels that I'm going to be getting here shortly and I'll take pictures and show everybody. So yeah, check him out. Really cool guy. Really supports the off-roading industry and off-roading people. So he's really out there doing a lot of off-roading himself as well as supporting it all. So check him out. He gives a lot back to the off-roading communities. It's always nice to give back to the companies that give back to us. So
he has a code as well, right?
A code he does. It is Snail Trail Free Ship. So that is good for free shipping on all of his recovery items and LED lighting.
Okay.
So you can use that all there. And then there's some other products. Some, like, it's hard because some of the products come with free shipping already. Like, I think it was BF Goodrich. Their tires already come with free shipping.
Okay.
So it's like you put in that code and you don't get any extra benefits for it. But some other tires might come with free shipping. Not come with free shipping, and you might can get the free shipping from the code. So use the code.
Use the code.
And worst...
Hopefully, yeah, worst case scenario, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, you get free shipping.
Yep. So use the code,
but
check it
also,
out.
Also, I mean, worst case scenario, nothing happens to you, but it does notify him that you are going there because of us. Which
is
a big help for us, saying, mm-hmm. like, we are trying to drive traffic.
Exactly. So... use that code. It helps just kind of keep things rolling along. So, yeah, I think that doesn't do it for updates.
No?
No. I have a surprise number 3 for Jim's month.
Okay.
So, this episode...
I was going to say, what updates do you have about your Forerunner? Because you're technically out in Baja right now.
I am. We're doing this a remote episode. I'm calling in. No, the Forerunner is going great. As of today, I should be hitting Ensenada.
Right.
And setting up camp to watch the Baja 1000 come through. So, the Forerunner is doing awesome. Haven't broken anything because I drive a Toyota, right?
Mm-hmm. Had to pull the Chevy and all the motorcycles out.
Exactly. Yeah, the two-wheel drive Chevy on 37s. I've had to pull him out a couple times. it's going great, I'm sure. So, yeah, let's see. Jim's
speaking
month.
From futures. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking from futures. It's podcast time traveling, right?
There you go.
So, Jim's month.
Jim's month, part 3.
Part 3. Close your eyes, sir.
I hear a bag. I hear some ruffling.
So, I'm here's soft. One. Don't open yet. And another something here. Sorry, it's getting real staticky.
It feels like a windshield, like, deflector thing.
A windshield shade?
Yeah.
It's kind of and similar.
I wonder if it's a garbage bag.
It could be.
Garbage.
It's your new poncho.
It's my new garbage for the shop.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Ah. Nice. I got a Morflate bag.
The
new ones. That's going to be super
sweet.
That
one was not planned to be as part of your birthday present, but I was like, let's throw it in there. So it feels like he's getting more.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
I like the layout. It's round. And
right?
That's what I thought. The edges are like ribbed where it's mm-hmm. sewed, and I thought that would be the pop-up section.
It's ribbed for your pleasure.
There you go.
So
I like the layout of that. That looks really good. And that logo is spot on.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I got a really good graphic designer. So.
And then I got a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I can't read it because it's folded up in a bag, but let's open it. I know it says caution. I could read that because it's big and red. Slow man at work. I don't get it.
Because you drive a Toyota.
That's pretty good. I thought you were saying I work slow.
No. It's because you drive a Toyota. I need to find a way to like silk screen a Toyota emblem on there.
I'll just write on with a Sharpie underneath it.
Yeah.
Because I drive a Toyota. No, that's cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
I like it. That's definitely going to be used out on the trail.
I figured it would be a great kind of trail shirt or yeah. working in the shop shirt. So
heck yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome from everybody.
We still got a few weeks of Jim's month to go, so
mm-hmm.
Don't get tired of hearing about it yet.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm tired of it. And I still have one more gift.
I'm ready.
No, that's going to be next week.
Aww.
So next Thursday, which is the 28th. Is when we will announce the final Jim's. Oh no, that's Thanksgiving. I'm not gonna. No, we can do it before. We can do it before. So
yeah, we got a special event or a special podcast planned for Thanksgiving.
That's true.
So yeah, we can definitely do it before.
Yeah, we'll get it out either on Thanksgiving or the Monday before. No, it'll be on Thanksgiving. I don't know. We'll see.
before the end of this month.
Before the end of the month, because we can't have Jim's month go into a second month. That would, that would just...
We technically started it in the very beginning of October, or the very end of October.
So we can't have Jim's month go into 3 months, because then you're going to extend it even further next year.
Yeah, it'll be Jim's year.
Jim's year. All right, so
Jim's
enough
quarter.
Of Jim. Enough of Jim. Enough
it already
of
is a quarter if it's 3 months.
That's true. It is a quarter almost.
Jim's trimester.
Jim's trimester. That
Jim's
just makes
half
sound
a year.
Like you're pregnant. Are you pregnant?
I got a belly that looks makes it look like it.
Yeah, it's because you had so much whiskey over the past 2 weeks, man.
Dude. I think kidney... I'm still having withdrawals.
Oh, man. Is your kidney revived yet? Is it better, feeling better?
Well, wouldn't it be liver?
That's what I meant. Your liver?
Yeah. Liver's cool. They heal.
They heal, yeah.
Sort of.
They can recuperate. Mostly.
Livers actually are one of the items in your body that will actually regrow.
Oh, nice.
So if you cut, like if you chopped half of your liver off, mm-hmm. it would regrow back to full size.
So how do we get the stem cells from a liver or combine like that growth property from livers into stem cells?
So like to regrow
so that
an arm?
I can regrow an arm.
I don't know. Okay. That's that one's above my pay grade.
Come on, man.
But it's pretty cool. Yeah. I always said that because I drank so much in college and after and yesterday, that when I started to have liver problems, they should just go in and cut out the bad parts and then it'll regrow as all the good parts.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
That's too bad.
Whatever it'll regrow as whatever, like if it's all going to be one percentage, right?
Okay.
It's not going to be like this chunk's 100% and that chunk's 10%. You know, no.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy that if you cut it off, it'll regrow.
Hmm. Good to know. So yeah. There's still hope for my future and my drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm happy to hear that.
I mean, what damage can you do with Fireball?
Not a whole lot. I mean, you can damage it, but not from the alcohol in it. From yeah. the, was it the polyglycoline or
too much cinnamon?
No such thing as too much cinnamon. It's like saying there's too much Christmas. That's right. You keep your mouth shut over there.
I'm not going to say anything on that one.
Oh man! So today's episode going to be a lot of fun. We have a nice backlog of your guys' questions. So. A lot
That's
of times, the way
massive.
A lot of this works, I literally have a pile of about, I don't know, 15, 20 questions here in front of me, and then we have another e-document full of another 15, 20 questions. So we have, I think for the most part, answered all of them to each individual that sent them out, but a lot of them are great questions
mm-hmm.
to answer on the podcast, because I'm sure there's other people out there that have the exact same question.
Right.
So...
If one person's wondering, everybody is wondering.
Yeah. Like a great one that I've heard recently was, is it true that when you go off-roading and the trail etiquette for peeing is men go off the driver's side, women go off the passenger side? And I said, typically, yes, that is true. Have you heard that before?
I've heard that before, but I've never, ever seen it happen.
Oh, really?
Or I've never, yeah, and or nobody's ever announced it or said it.
Interesting. You need
I've
to go
heard it.
To bigger, like especially at Cal 4 events.
Yeah.
Cal 4 Wheel, California 4-Wheel Drive Association. At all of their driver's meetings, it a lot of times will get announced.
Oh, really?
Because there are a lot of times family events, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of males and females at a lot of the Cal 4 events, and it's a lot of vehicles. You're looking at upwards of 30 to 40 vehicles on any one trip.
Okay.
And so during some of the driver's meetings, they will announce if you have to go to the bathroom, men go off the driver's side of the vehicle, women go off the passenger side of the vehicle, and that's how it's going to work out. If you don't care either way, then, you know,
well,
be careful.
Women can go to the men's side,
exactly.
But men can't go to the women's side.
That's what it is.
What if the woman's driving?
Then they have to walk around the vehicle and go to the passenger side still.
Interesting.
Which is
chauvinistic.
It's a very chauvinistic nomenclature, right? It's how they keep the peace, I guess. I don't know. But that's really the only time I've heard it is at Cal 4 events.
Hmm.
But I have heard it multiple times.
Interesting.
So, that was one of them that I thought was kind of interesting. That's kind of a nice quick answer thing. So here is a pile of questions for you. Go ahead and pick one. There's that's might be a good one. That was a baby one.
I figured we'd start there.
Okay. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, I don't know how to read.
So this is from... Wait. This is the ending part of another... the
what?
Questions
you
in here
cut
somewhere.
It wrong?
I cut it wrong. Not that one. Hold on to that.
Is it a double question? This is the... Oh, this is a P.S. P.S. No. I'm in Minnesota. I have a 98 TJ with a Ford 8.8 E-Locker and 35s. There are actually a few places in MN, Minnesota, to wheel with rocks even. I'm not a fan of mudding, but there is plenty of that too. Thanks, Wyatt. I appreciate the P.S.
I think this is the one from
isn't,
Wyatt. It's
isn't
a
there,
really long one.
Isn't that where Jeff is?
Minnesota, yeah.
So...
Yep.
I wonder if they got in contact.
Maybe.
I know Jeff is crying out there in Minnesota because there's no rocks that he knows of.
Uh-huh.
So Wyatt, if you're listening, go contact Jeff.
Yeah, Hefe. Contact Jeff. He might know some good wheeling spots. I know there's some good woods around his house for wheeling and hitting trees.
Yeah, I heard he drove into a tree.
Okay.
Did you find it, or are we just going to move on to a next one?
I think it was that one, but it's more of less of a question and more of, hey, what should you do with the first gen 4Runner after the whole theft and everything? So
we already passed that.
Yep. Sorry.
All right. Grabbing the next one.
Okay.
And now you get to read it.
Okay.
Ryan.
This one's from Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. So it says, hey guys, my father showed me this podcast and I enjoy your content. I am in the process on getting
Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mr. Ryan. Senor Ryan. Old Ryan. That's mean.
I don't know.
Older Ryan. I am in the process of getting a used third gen Tacoma right now, so hopefully I will have some pics to show you guys soon. I'm a fellow member of the Gambler 500 SoCal group and have been to the annual Oregon meetup 2 years in a row as well. I'm not completely caught up with your most current episode, but I know that I want more. Thanks for what you do and keep up the good work. So that was more of a feedback, less of a question, but I think that was more...
Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Get into contact with us again.
Yes.
Because Tyler and I have been talking about doing the Gambler.
Exactly.
And we want to know more information. How do we get in? What do we do? I have an idea what we do. But how do we get in? Where should we go? Who should we talk to? Give us all that info.
Yep. So give us that info because we're seriously looking at doing the Gambler next year. And that's why I kept that in there because, Ryan, we want you to get back in contact or if anybody else knows all that info on getting set up for that. So
nice.
Seven. Seven?
Seventh one down on the...
Oh. One, two, three, four...
That was just a number out of my head randomly.
Five, six, seven. So this is from Constantine.
Constantine, what up, buddy? Guten Tag.
Guten Tag, our buddy that helps us with our math issues. He says, regarding repeater book...
Oh.
So this is a ham radio thing. Bye, Jimmy. Jimmy's gone. He put down his headset and he's leaving the room. He said, regarding repeater book, it's actually better than you described it in the sense that it works globally. For example, I've used it in the Swiss-German border area when visiting my mom, and Jimmy can use it in Italy when visiting his family, where he can transmit under the SEPT agreement as long as he has a general license. Which, do you have a general license?
Yes.
Uh-huh, sure you do.
Why do I?
No.
What do I have?
You have
technicians?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why is this useful? Well, one international destination that comes up from time to time is Baja. Go figure. I totally
timing.
Did not plan this one out. I just tried
it. Gee, are you there, Tyler, currently?
I know. I've actually used a repeater book and loaded a bunch of Baja channels into my radio, and it's working fantastic. Thanks for the reminder, Constantine. I just tried it and gave me several repeaters right there in Cabo. So... Constantine, and then I put in parentheses our German math helper. So that's the cool thing about repeater book that I completely forgot about is that it does work globally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in North America or just in the United States. It does cover the globe for repeaters.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's a global database for ham radio repeaters across the world, and you can click on countries or zip codes or wherever you're at. Sometimes you can even put in points of interest and it'll show you repeaters nearby, which is really cool. It's
That's
a really
cool.
smart website. So repeater book, the repeater book app, download it onto your phone. If you have a ham radio and you go traveling a lot, very useful to have. So, I did look up repeaters for Baja. So before I left and programmed them into my radio before I got them installed in the car.
Woo. In the future.
In the future. Totally future.
Donka Constantine.
But it's in the past. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Give me another number. One through...
Hi. One through a lot. How about we do 13? Lucky number 13.
One through 10.
Oh, 10. Which is my favorite number.
Ooh, this is a long one.
Which 10 is also J in the alphabet.
Good to know. I didn't realize that. I mean, I guess I'd never really had a reason to know that before. All right, so this is a long one. This is... Oh, this is from one of our Australian buddies.
G'day.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie?
Yeah, that
I'm sure they love hearing that. Oh, my God. I apologize. I just want to wear my boardies and go to Macker's.
That, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go with it. Oh, okay. Did you know that a fanny, do you know what a fanny is in Australia?
No, I know what it is in English.
Oh, what's it in English?
A butt.
A butt. So it's not, it's a, I think it's a vagina.
Really?
I'm pretty sure a fanny. So, sorry. In Australia, I'm pretty sure a fanny is like a vagina, and so a fanny pack to Americans is like a little belt bag, really, right?
Yeah.
So a fanny pack to Australians, you'd say that to an Australian, they're like, "What the fuck?
You have a what? You got a bag for your V?"
Yeah. Anyways, so sorry, I just had to bring that up.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. So he says, "Hey, Tyler and Jimmy, I love listening to your podcast and appreciate the Toyota specific content as a Toyota enthusiast myself. I live in Australia, so I am used to calling pickups a Hilux. But my ears have adjusted to hearing you say pickup. Where I live in Tasmania, very few people are into rock crawling as it is just really wet and muddy here in the south. My Hilux has twin case, 35s, lockers, high steers, winches front and rear. It also has the stock 2.4 liter diesel engine, which is a great motor for crawling. I particularly liked your YouTube video on HydroAssist, as this is something I'm looking into at the moment. So,
do it.
I know, right? So, and then he goes on.
I think Tyler said it should have been done like years before.
Absolutely. HydroAssist is amazing. It's light and day, or night and day.
It is light and day.
Light and day. Lighting the day. That's what it does.
Sure.
Stop making fun of my words. And then he goes on to talk about the 8-inch axles and the 8-inch ring gears and third members, which we've covered quite a bit in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Land Cruiser 60s have a 9.5-inch third, as we said, but the axles and Burfields are the same as the Hilux.
Oh.
Except for the length on the short side. Long field 30-spline Burfields are the same for both applications. The 9.5-inch thirds and the 8-inch thirds, but the short side axle is 50 millimeters longer.
Oh, interesting.
The long side is identical. So I haven't looked.
It's a little wider.
Mm-hmm. So it's 50 millimeters wider on the 9.5-inch Land Cruiser.
So 2.54 centimeters, 25.4 centimeters to an inch.
25 centimeters or
25.4 millimeters to an inch.
Oh my God, you're going to make me do math.
That's like 2 inches.
So it's about 2 inches. Yeah. So, yeah. He goes on. The one mod I've planned for the future is cutting and widening my short side of the housing by 50 millimeters and putting a Cromoli FJ60 axle on the short side. It gives you a 2-inch increase in wheel track without running spacers or adversely affecting scrub radius.
Interesting.
Right?
Ooh, I like that.
I like the way this guy's mind works. So
you're going to extend the shaft and the housing just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then in an essence, you don't have to run wheel spacers.
Exactly.
I mean, we run 1.5 inches on ours, so we have 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, so this would be a 2-inch. So we'd still have 1 inch to kind of make up.
Yep.
I like the idea, though.
But, yeah, then you could run half-inch wheel spacers and not have as much stress on your knuckle and your spindle and everything.
Well, and I bet if you're running the IFS hubs, that might solve the problem.
Yeah.
All in all.
Yeah. So,
ooh, that's cool.
Right?
Thanks. What is it? That was that? That's not Mart. What,
this is Martin.
Martin.
Yep. Martin, our Tasmanian Australian buddy.
Yeah. I remember sending him the sticker for signing up on the Snail Trail website.
Oh, nice.
I'm going, I'm sending something to Tasmania. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
So that was the time I was sending something to Tasmania, like Spain, Germany, and Ethiopia, I think. It was
nice.
Like a strange country.
Look at us getting all multicultural.
It was awesome.
That's pretty sweet. So it's really cool to hear from people across the globe about, A, that you guys actually enjoy American Toyota content, but B, that you can get something out of it and then give awesome fucking information back like this.
Yes. That was
I was
rad.
So stoked when I read this email.
Now if we, I'll trade you... 60 axle for one of your motors, please.
Yeah, I'll take a 2.4 liter diesel for a 9.5 inch axle.
Right.
So, yeah, thanks, Martin. It was awesome hearing from you. It was really cool to see the pictures of his rig.
His rig is sweet.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe we should do a trip down there.
Dude, we just need to go all over. Then we're going to have to go to Ethiopia next. So, yeah.
I got a joke about that. I'll tell you after.
Is it not podcast approved?
No.
Does it need to be after 3 hours of whiskey?
It probably would have came out on the 3 hour long episode.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. Let's go back to a paper question. Pick one of those. Okie doke.
Oh, this one's long.
It's a long one.
It goes, hey, Tyler. So you should read it.
Oh, okay. radio
Jimmy,
question.
Jimmy don't read good.
Says, hey, Tyler, I'm looking to get a handheld radio for trail communications. I know next to nothing about radios. My groups usually use CB, but I'm interested in getting my ham license down the road. All that being said, is there a decent handheld out there that can do CB and ham that does not break the bank? Enjoying the podcast, by the way. I've never owned a Toyota, but I did have a Suzuki Samurai on Toyota axles, so the Samurai 110s, that I cut in half and stretched 20 inches. Currently building a Jeep
the
Gladiator.
Axles?
No, the Samurai.
Okay.
Currently building a Jeep Gladiator, just like everybody else at SEMA. Don't hate me, please, LOL. I still love Toyotas. Whoops, you just talked about this on the latest podcast. That's a... Instagram, TJ Mitchell Films. So, yeah, pretty much no. I'm pretty sure we've answered this before.
Yeah.
There is no handheld radio that will do CB and ham. There are some really good introductory handheld radios, HTs, as they're called, that will do MERS, FRS, ham, commercial, if you want to go get a commercial license for your club. But just remember that running one radio on all those different types of frequencies, technically the radio has to be type certified by the FCC. Now, is the FCC going to hunt you down and find you and find, not just find you, but find you and then find you for having a non-type certified compliant radio? Probably not, as long as you're using it responsibly and you're not interrupting other radio signals with your radios. So use it responsibly, know the risks that you're getting into, and yeah, be responsible on the radio. So MERS and FRS are open use, open license, so you don't have to have a license to be on those frequencies. But theoretically, the radio is supposed to be licensed to be used those frequencies.
Don't one of those... Isn't one of those you have to pay to use that frequency?
Not MERS and FRS.
Oh, which one's GMRS?
GMRS.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
So, and the funny thing about that is GMRS and FRS are the exact same frequencies. So the FCC set the channels to be the exact same frequencies. The difference is if you have a GMRS license, you can run more power on those frequencies than if it's just FRS.
Oh, that's really weird.
And you get access to it. There's a few more. I think there's 8 more frequencies that you get in GMRS that you don't get in FRS.
Huh.
And those eight other frequencies are usually used for repeaters. So GMRS repeaters.
Oh, cool.
So, but yeah, it's really funny because they're like, no, in order to be on these frequencies, you need to have a GMRS license, but the FRS frequencies are those same frequencies. So they're technically open use. So I'm not sure how they monitor or if they even are monitoring
yeah.
those frequencies.
Somebody's like, hey, where are you broadcasting from? And you're like, really far away.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you're busted.
Yeah, exactly. So, nice. Yeah, so that's the handhelds. Oh, there are handhelds out there. I have not checked to see the update on the whole Baofeng scenario with the UV5Rs and Baofengs not being type compliant and the FCC getting on them about it. So usually type compliant radios, the FCC will go after the manufacturers, not the consumers.
Got it.
So that's why they have type compliance laws is to monitor and regulate the manufacturers. So you don't get somebody putting in out completely open use radios that people can use wherever the hell they want to without knowing what they're doing. So they try and control it at the manufacturer level. And then consumers, it's up to you guys to use the radios responsibly on the correct frequencies that you're allowed to use radios on.
Right.
So
I know we've said it before, but why don't you just say it again? What is one of your favorite handhelds?
My favorite handheld is the Alinco DJ500T for a number of reasons. It's very, very similar to the Yaesu FT60. The FT60 is a really popular off-roading handheld ham radio. It's just very robust. It can handle a lot of abuse. The Alinco is very similar. It's IP54 rated. It'll handle a lot of abuse as well. It just doesn't have 1,000 memory channels. It only has like 250. So it's like, whoop-de-doo, you can still go away ways with 250 channels. But the Alinco also has dual monitoring on it.
Oh, okay.
So you can monitor two different frequencies at the same time, right. Whereas the Yaesu, you can only monitor one at a time.
Got it.
And that's the big thing with the Alinco, that and it's software unlockable. So you can unlock the radio to use it on MERS or FRS through the software, rather than having to open up the radio and remove a diode off of the circuit board like you have to do with the Yaesu.
Cool.
So that's the Alinco. The downside to the Alinco is that it has a really shitty battery. It's just a small handheld unit, which is kind of nice. It can be nice. The downside to having a small unit is that it's a small battery.
Are the batteries, can you change them out?
Or absolutely.
Is it just recharge?
They recharge and you can change them out. So you can buy multiple batteries and take them on longer trips with you.
Okay.
And so that's the way to get around to that one. So that radio, if you don't want to spend 80 to 110 bucks, I think they are, depending on when they go on sale. The Baofeng UV82 HP stands for high power. Those ones are pretty water resistant and they go up to 8 watts of power. The problem with those is they're made from cheap materials. So the transmitters, the receivers, the sound audio on them is not great. So all those components tend to go out over time. Whereas the Alinco, it's going to last you forever. This other one, the Baofeng UV82s, it's a great price point, but you're going to have to replace it in 1 to 2 years.
Interesting.
So, those are my favorite two handhelds right now, just depending on how much money you want to spend on it. I'd highly recommend that Alinco. It's a great radio. I recommend it for all of my classes that I do. Any in-person classes. And, yeah.
Nice. So, okay.
Until you get a big boy mobile radio, start off with one of those two handhelds.
Cool.
So,
Number one?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. So, number one, this one is from Travis.
Hey, Travis.
Travis McBride. So, he says...
I think I might know him.
Do you know him?
Maybe.
Okay.
Travis, if you went to Del Oro, I say hi.
Okay, there you go.
Jimmy class of 99.
Jimmy class of 99. So Travis says, hey, Tyler and Jimmy, huge fan of the podcast. I've listened to every single episode of your new podcast and have been subscribed on YouTube for years. I'm asking for your advice.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum. I don't know why he would do that. You're just asking for trouble now, buddy. He says, all right.
Full wits, 44s.
Yeah. Nope, not quite. So, he says, I'm a huge outdoors person, and my wife is, well, not an outdoors person. I have a 2018 4Runner and live in Western Massachusetts.
I know this question.
I'm new to the area and constantly want to go explore and put my 4Runner through its paces. What would be a good way to convince my wife to go along for my explorations and get her into agreeing to camp for a few nights? What would be some points to tell her into letting me go explore more and prove that I'm not bashing my ride? Thanks in advance and keep up the awesome work on the podcast, Travis.
So you sent me this question and you said, I think we need to get the significant others on.
Yes, the secretary and the assistant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was actually sitting with the assistant at the time.
Oh, really? When you read it?
Yeah. And so I read it to her and she was cool with, like, would probably want to jump on the podcast.
Okay.
And I think this would be a fun one to cover. Mm-hmm. One of the things that she pointed out that I never would have thought of, mm-hmm. but makes total sense, mm-hmm. is girls want a bathroom, a flushable toilet.
Yeah, I can see that.
And men, me,
we're just like, whatever.
Whatever. Wag bag, I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know, but I think one of the things that you could do, Travis, is if you decide to go camping, mm-hmm. find a campground that has a flushable toilet.
Man, that's tough. There are very few and far between.
Yeah, but the thing is,
California, at least.
Things I would also say would be, uh-huh. baby steps. Don't jump in with 2 feet.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to, show her how much fun it is, show her why it's good to get out, you know, try to teach the enjoyment and what you enjoy doing while you're getting out, mm-hmm. right? Don't go decide to drive the Rubicon and have these gross, nasty toilets on the way, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't go crazy and bash your rig. Maybe take it on a fire road to somewhere that has a flushing toilet, you know, which there are out there. Uh-huh. There are some out there. Do your research. You know, like that, it might be hard to find, uh-huh. but doing that work up front might make it so that she has fun and enjoys it later down the road.
So she continues to keep wanting to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, and the thing is, go for one night.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah.
Right? And bring everything and the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Yes.
That one time. Right. And then, you know, bring like 2 air mattresses and 45 pillows or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, so that would do everything you possibly can to get her comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, the assistant, the first thing she said was, well, you should have married somebody that likes to go camping. You're not going to get to teach somebody how to enjoy camping if they don't really like to camp. Right. And I don't agree with that, uh-huh. because I think that, you know, if somebody, why do they not like camping? Have they never gone? Mm-hmm. And did they have a bad experience? What was that experience, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that I think everybody will enjoy going camping to an extent. Mm-hmm. I like to go camping way more extreme than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like on the side of a mountain.
You like to be homeless. Storms. Yeah.
right? But I think there's, you know, start small, go drive a fire road to a KOA campground.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and go find somewhere like a somewhat remote, but still in a city that has a campground but do a wheeling trip one day and come back to that campground, you know, start super basic, mm-hmm. very easy. Mm-hmm. And that's my male advice to try to get a female to go wheeling with you.
Yeah.
But right. I think we need to get do you have any other advice? But I think we should actually try and get the assistant.
No,
the secretary
totally. I definitely want to make a whole episode out of this with the significant others.
I think so.
So I want to get the assistant and the secretary on and get their opinions on it. I know that Mike and Max tried to do a segment called Just the Tip, mm-hmm. where they were talking about advice from ladies for ladies about how to be more comfortable off-roading or how to off-road better as a woman. And
Shiwi.
Shiwi?
Get a Shiwi.
What's a Shiwi?
It's like a funnel.
Oh, okay.
So they can pee standing up.
No, it's there's also another one out there called a pee style. Yeah.
That's funny.
So yeah, my advice again, this is a male advice to females. Well, I guess it's male advice to another male about females.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. But I again, start small. Go on a day trip. Go on an afternoon trip somewhere and get back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on a day trip and get back home. I found that the secretary's issue, she has three issues. She doesn't mind so much the non-flushing toilet, but she wants a shower after 24 hours.
Yeah, sure.
So,
the assistance is pretty much the same way, but I think she'll survive. Like, we've gone on a two-night trip, and she calls it a hippie bath with, like, a wet wipes.
Yeah.
And she'll end up doing that.
But, yeah.
I call it a horse bath.
Horse bath. Nice. So there are really cool heat exchangers you can put in your vehicle that will allow you to, and like a sump pump or a pump of some kind, to pull water out of a water source, say a river or lake, whatever it is, and pump it through your engine to heat up the water and have a hot shower.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a they work fantastic. That's going to be one of the upgrades I'm going to do later on down the road to the 4Runner. So a hot shower within 24 hours or at 24 hours. The other one is while we're wheeling, to keep moving. So she doesn't want to sit anywhere and wait to spot a bunch of people up an obstacle or try and fix a vehicle on the trail. Like, she doesn't want to be sitting and waiting. She wants to keep going and get to camp.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't like the uncertainty of off-roading, because that's like the thing that I kind of love about off-roading is if you do break on the trail, you got to fix it. You got to find a way to make it work.
And part of the problem with that is that as off-roaders, we're concerned with other off-roaders and trying to make sure that they're okay and that they can get off the trail.
Yeah.
And doing whatever, for the most part, whatever we can to help them.
Yeah. So I have found that typically when you're in bigger groups, the pace goes a lot slower. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more standing around doing nothing. So I'm very careful to say, hey, I think this would be a good trip for you to go on, or this would be a bad trip for you to go on, because if it's going to be a really small group, we can keep it moving and keep things going instead of sitting around not doing a whole lot kind of thing. She doesn't like that part.
You know, another thing I just thought of while you're saying in the regards to groups is, and this is piggybacking right on that, is maybe find one other person, another couple, that enjoys going camping and would be willing to go do a one night overnight trip or something small, and you know, and then you go out, and then that way she has another female to talk to, another female to bat things off of, you know, or talk about or complain to, you know. I mean, it's, you know, having another female there is definitely going to help, you know, and having at least another group so that there's some security in that, you know.
Yep. I think that's a good way to some good advice there as well. Mm-hmm. So, again, take it all with a grain of salt. This is just kind of what we've tried with our significant others.
Yeah.
And
mine loves camping, so I don't have a big issue. But she was like, she enjoys it. Mm-hmm. The rooftop tent helped a lot.
Okay.
So
maybe get a rooftop tent.
Well, they're easy to set up, they're easy to tear down, and they're comfy.
They are very comfy in there,
you know. And for the most part, and they stay. She the assistant loves sleeping in, and the rooftop tent is dark. It keeps the sun out very well, and so it's easy, makes it easier for her to sleep in.
Nice.
And so, I mean, just trying to, you know, if you know your lady, you know, then you try to figure out what she enjoys and amplify it by tenfold.
Yeah.
For a few adventures, so that she starts to love it.
Yeah.
You know, do everything. Don't like go, like if she cooks for you at home and cleans for you at home and does the laundry for you at home, and then you go out and wheel, you should be cooking for her. You should be cleaning up after, and you should be making the bed.
I had to be doing that, with the secretary the first few times we went out. Not just because she was like, do it all, but She didn't do a whole lot of camping before. She likes camping, but she didn't do a whole lot of it. So she didn't really know exactly like what needed to be done and what orders things need to be done. So as she's kind of been on a few more trips now, she's taken on doing more stuff now, and I now have to do a little bit less.
Sure. And that kind of might bring up another point is instead of just straight up doing it all, involve her.
Yeah.
Have her be a part of it. Like, don't set up the tent. Like, you set up the tent, but you're say, hey, honey, can you give me a hand with, you know, pushing this pole into the slot?
Yeah.
Right?
I like the way you put that.
You know, like, you do the work. You set, you know, you erect the tent. But, you know, still involve her in things, you know, and have her be a part of that.
You get your erection up.
Also, I think we haven't even hit on the second topic of this question. How do I convince her of my rig not getting busted?
Oh, yeah.
Don't bust your rig.
Don't bust your rig.
Don't drive, you know, you're going to have to go out on a bunch of adventures and come back with your rig being flawless before she goes, you're just going to go out there and trash it. You know, if the concern is that first trip or whatever, you know, then the only thing you can do is like say, this is going to be a super easy trail and it's not going to be difficult and I'm not going to break my rig, you know, or I don't necessarily know how to prove it to somebody that you're not going to hurt your rig when, you know, when it's not going to be a difficult adventure.
Yeah. There are a ton. You know, there's like way you probably more, have more trails out there.
You probably have a bigger threat of driving to the trail and getting your rig broken and getting in an accident than you breaking your rig out on the trail.
Yeah. I would agree with that. So,
but like we both said, I think.
Especially if you live in Massachusetts. Because Massachusetts drivers are fucking crazy.
That's true. So. Yeah. I think we're going to get the ladies on the podcast and we'll cover that first section again.
Yeah. I think that'll be a really good section to hear directly from their mouth.
There.
I won't say the other saying, the other popular saying I was going to say.
Good idea.
Oh, man.
One more? Are we doing good? Should we close it out?
Do you know how to say excellent in German?
Excelente?
No. This one's from Constantine as well. He just wrote in. He goes, hi, guys. Excellent in German equals ausgezeichnet. Ausgezeichnet. He gave us a
phonetic one.
Phonetic link. So it'll play it here, maybe. All right, so here's how you say excellent in German.
Ausgezeichnet.
Can you pronounce that?
Ausgezeichnet.
Ausgezeichnet.
And so where did that come from?
I think we were trying to figure out, like, how do you say excellent in German one time? And we're like, oh, we'll just ask Constantine. And he actually wrote in saying how to say
it. Thanks, Constantine.
Thank you, Constantine.
Danke.
That's a... Ausgezeichnet. It's my word of the day. Damn it. Ausgezeichnet. I hope I'm doing it right. I don't know. Okay. We might have time for one more. That's going to be a black box if we do that one. Okay. Taking the top paper.
A quick APRS question.
Okay.
Any question for Tyler is not quick.
No.
Let's just go there. Should we go to the next one? When a radio is hooked up to a phone/tablet with APRS droid and map, can you not use the radio as normal?
Oh, good question. That is correct. You cannot. So, because when you have it hooked up to the phone, essentially what you're doing is you're taking the output audio of the phone. The phone is running all of your APRS stuff. It's running, it's creating the digital signal, right? And all it's doing is outputting a digital signal, either into a headphone jack, an audio cable, over Bluetooth, whatever, over to the radio. And the radio is just functioning as a regular radio set on the APRS frequency, 144.390. And all it's doing is playing the audio via a voice-activated transmission, or VOX. I don't know why it's VOX instead of voice, VAX. Anyways, it's called VOX. And so what it's doing is, as soon as it can hear audio coming in its microphone input, it automatically takes that audio out, audio and just transmits it as if you were just talking to the radio. So because the radio is being tied up transmitting through that audio cable, you will not be able to use the radio normally to communicate like via words with another person. So
right. So, and then his follow-up is,
okay,
so that makes sense. So the APRS channel is being used by audio stuff, mm-hmm. and you can't talk on it
correct.
Otherwise.
Exactly.
Because that channel is transmitting and receiving data packets.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use it to communicate with
yep.
normally.
And that's how it normally goes. There is one exception to that, and that's if you're running APRS droid. No, I don't even think that would be an exception. I think it would still work that way. I need to try it out on your FT400s.
Okay.
Because the FTM400s, you can run a Bluetooth module in the radio and have the Bluetooth module connect to your phone or tablet. And there might be an option in the FTM400's menu to take the audio from the Bluetooth module and put it through your unused VFO. So say you're using VFO-A, your mm-hmm. top VFO to be talking on, it'll leave VFO-B in the background. Not you, you don't notice it. It's not going to be doing anything for you, but in actuality, it's actually transmitting the audio coming through the Bluetooth controller.
Right.
So there might be a menu setting for that, but I'd have to look into it. So
oh, cool. Then he says with an HTE.
Okay.
Hand talkie.
Handy talkie.
Handy talkie.
Uh-huh.
Like a GT3TP.
Okay.
No idea what that is. It seems like you can't, but with a mobile radio, can you talk on a different channel while APRS channel is still working in the background? Thanks, Ken.
You can only do that if the radio has APRS built into it and you're running the APRS. The radio is creating the APRS signal all by itself. If you're using a phone and an outside source, a phone or a tablet, whatever it is, to create the audio signal, and the radio is just transmitting it at that point, then you cannot.
So even if the radio is transmitting it on one channel, you can't talk on the second channel?
You can if the radio is creating the APRS signal by itself, and you're not using a phone or tablet and APRS droid.
Interesting. So yeah. If you're running APRS droid, and you have a dual band radio, mm-hmm. Mobile radio,
mm-hmm.
It's only one channel that point.
Exactly, because of the way you have to run the audio output from the phone to the input of the radio. The only input for a mobile radio is the microphone input.
Correct.
So you have to be using the microphone's input in order to run your audio signal from your phone into the radio. So that's why I know that there's a lot of the guys that do the APRS up in the Rubicon area.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to run APRS droid on a tablet and have it work through their Yaesu FTM400s via Bluetooth and still talk. But I also know that most of those guys all run two dual VFO radios. So they technically have like four frequencies that they can use. So
right.
I don't know if they're just using FTM400 for that radio and maybe to monitor another frequency, and they're using their other radio to transmit everything or to transmit all their voice communications. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I'd have to look into it further.
So mine,
mm-hmm.
I have the FTM400.
Uh-huh.
XDR,
yeah.
Yeah, X, mm-hmm. something like that. Mine has the APRS built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one channel that I can turn over to the APRS, but then I can still use the second channel.
Yep. Yep. And so what you do is you tap on VFOB mm-hmm. and say, hey, I want to turn APRS on VFOB, and it'll go, okay, cool. And it does it all for you according to whatever settings you put it to, what mm-hmm. parameters you put it on. And then you go back to VFOA and start using VFOA. Meanwhile, VFOB in the background continues doing APRS stuff.
Right.
So
got it. Yep. And which is, I mean, something we still need to figure out is my VFOB
uh-huh.
is super muted.
Oh, you it's remember? Still super muted?
I never played with it.
Okay.
But I'm going to put APRS on that channel. I'm going to put APRS on it and turn the volume off anyway.
Anyway.
Right? So it doesn't need to be amplified any higher.
Okay.
So, but if I ever choose to not run APRS on that channel, then I'm going to have a quiet channel.
Yeah.
So
you have to look into that. I think there was somebody that was, and we looked into it a little bit, and they said that it had something to do with the speaker, the particular type of speaker that they were using on their radio, and they swapped it out to a different type of speaker, and it worked just fine.
That's really bizarre.
So we might have to play around with a couple different speakers and see if it's that particular type of speaker. Cool. So.
Yeah, that was a great question, Ken. Thanks for writing us.
So that about does it. We're out of time here. So we got through quite a few questions.
We did.
Pile down nicely. So if you guys have any other questions, you have any follow-up questions, anything you guys want to know about, send them on over to jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com or tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. We will definitely answer to you personally right away. And then we'll probably hold on to the question as well to do it again on an episode like this here. So send us your questions. You can also DM them to us or tag us on questions on Instagram. So tag snailtrail4x4 or 4x4toyotatyler. You can always find us at those two usernames. Is that what they're called?
Handles.
Handles. Instagram handles.
Usernames.
Usernames. That'll be work. You can always find us there. So find those. Make sure you also get your heinies on over to iTunes and rate and review us or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to or using to listen to us.
Especially if you made it this far in the episode.
I just feel sorry for you.
You know, I looked the other day and I were upwards around 60, I think.
60
reviews.
Oh, really?
And they're all 5 stars.
We have a full 5 stars? That can't be true. You guys are lying. I don't believe that. That's lying.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. No, really, those reviews and the ratings, especially the ratings on there, the more ratings you have, the more that iTunes tends to rank you a little higher and suggests you to more people. So if you like what you're hearing and want to help out in a way, you can. That's a very quick and easy way you can do it. Just go on iTunes or Spotify, Stitcher, whatever you're listening to us on, and give us a quick rating. And that'll help that platform to get us out to more people. So thank you again, everybody. So
72. I just looked it up.
We're up to 72?
72 ratings.
Check that out. You guys rock. You guys are awesome. So,
shall we read one? Can I read one?
Doing listener feedback episode. Let's read a couple.
It won't let me in.
Oh.
Not on my Android phone.
It's all this is Android. Get out of here.
I got it.
You got it?
I found it.
Okay.
Wheelie Diesel. Great podcast. Awesome podcast. Well, I guess the title's Great Podcast.
Huh.
Awesome podcast. They talk about trails in my backyard and as a Toyota fan, great info. Watch their YouTube videos.
Nice.
That was the first one up there. I like that.
Yeah. Good.
Let's go. Let's scroll. Okay. It's cycling. Here's from Danger Dersault.
Danger Dersault. Oh, that's Joseph.
Oh, you know him?
Joseph Danger Dersault. He was, I think, one of the winners.
Oh.
A giveaway winner. I think so.
You guys and Sierra 4x4 are perfect for listening to on long drives. Possible topic. Favorite foods to make while camping.
Ooh, I will add that to the list.
There we go.
I think I actually have like a camp cooking episode planned somewhere here, but yeah, there we go. I'll add that specific thing, favorite foods.
Port-shift. That intro was great. Looking forward to the episode.
Is he talking about our teaser?
But I like it.
Okay.
The off-roading community was in dire need of a quality podcast. Keep the content coming.
That's just a cute one.
Yuckamon MC.
Yuckamon MC. Where do you think he's from, being a Yuckamon?
Yukon.
Yukon? That's what I was going to guess.
Yukon MC? Maybe.
Kennedy. He's from up in the Kennedy.
Love the podcast. Very entertaining. Just listening to episode 5. Thanks for keeping my motivation high on four-wheeling. Love all the stories from trails and about building your rigs, you should have Greg on as a guest to help with your full-size projects.
You mean Jeff?
Yeah, they said Greg. But had Greg on there, we can check that one off.
Yep. Duh. We had Greg on.
Now he's not really full-size. Jeff. We should try to get Jeff on sometime. That'd be fun.
Jeff never tells anybody when he comes into town.
I know.
He just kind of shows up and then does a random podcast episode then goes away.
True.
So,
but maybe we just have to go to Minnesota.
We have to go to Minnesota and
during
check out
the
our
summer.
Yeah, I don't want to go during winter
or during the spring or fall. Sometimes it's nice. When yeah. is it ever nice? When is it nice? Who did we have from Minnesota?
That was
didn't
one of the
just
people
have
we were
a
talking
podcast
about.
Or a
it was
person.
Like the first one that we it was Ryan
yeah, here over Wyatt.
Yeah, Wyatt.
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 When you're writing us back about something, didn't we have? Oh. When you're writing Jeff to talk about places to go wheel in Minnesota, also attach us to that email and let us know when is a good time to come visit.
Sounds good. I like it. So with that, Jimmy,
yes.
any final words of advice for anybody out there or just maybe a word that doesn't mean anything?
Don't pee into the wind.
With that, my friends, keep crawling.
All right, I got one for you.
You have another joke? Is it another cow joke?
How'd you know?
I'm on a roll, you know?
It is. It is another cow joke. What do you call a cow with three legs?
Three legs. Three, I don't know. What is
tri-tip.
It? Okay.
What do you call a lady with no arms and no legs on the barbecue?
Bobby? Barbie? I don't know.
Patty.
Uh